for a while in this place about how our lives are lived out in the space between two trees. Way in the really distant past, the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, and way in the really, 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 really distant future. This was really hopeful of me, by the way. The tree of life mentioned in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And in both stories, the water of life, life-giving river and the river of life, and how that river flows, well, you could see it in both the windows, right? It flows in this window that represents Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd who leads me by still waters. And in this window, which represents Psalm 121, I look up to the hills and where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. And so this river of life flowing between two trees, even through the Psalms, right through our space, through the baptismal font, and on to that really distant, hopeful future. I remind you of that because in the first lesson, we have the story of God who lives in mystery, calling from a hopeful future to Abram, who, by the way, is way over there, really close to that other tree. And it's like God says to Abram, Abram, a little more to your left. No, 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 come on, come on, straight on, okay. Never mind, I'll show you as you come. Just come to the place where I'm showing you. And you could tell from how I read the story that I'm totally amazed that Abram went. In the first place, for me, it isn't very often that God calls to me from a hopeful future and says, Laura, there's a pothole right in front of you. Step wide to your right. Mostly what happens to me is I fall right in the pothole because I'm not listening. And then I'm mad at God and I'm cursing God, like, why didn't you keep me out of the pothole? I told you there's a pothole. Never mind, I'll walk with you through the pothole. I think this is more our relationship to God, is that we either don't hear or we can't hear, or it's really hard for us to trust the direction, because going directly from where we are to where we want to go just seems more obvious. I mean, even when I'm driving, I don't go south and get on 22X and circle around to get to the airport. I just go up Deerfoot, traffic or no. But sometimes the road that we're on is fraught with, I was going to just say danger, but I'll just say unhelpful danger, because sometimes danger is helpful to us, you know? In the opening hymn, we had the line, God will always challenge. What was the other word? Challenge and what? God will always challenge and provide. So sometimes there's challenge, we don't really like it, but it helps us grow. So that when God is yelling, come straight on through, come around a little bit. I'm really glad that you're standing up, Phil, because we had decided during Lent that we were doing tag team preaching, but we're doing tag team preaching, throwing ourselves on the mercy of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just supposed to talk until he gets up. I'm really glad you got up. Are you ready? Fantastic. Go. I don't even remember what it was. You get the idea of what I was saying.
Well, she kind of painted the picture where Abram was back here. You know, if this is creation, Abram was back here and said yes. Well, the story I read from John is about Nicodemus. So he's a little bit further along the path. He's a Pharisee, a religious leader. He's been observing those laws and commands, walking in the footsteps of Abram. But, you know, I think he's a whole lot like we are. We like to understand and know all of it. It's like, not only do we want to know the pothole that's right in front of us, we want to know all the potholes. We want to know exactly what it looks like. Show us the whole map. And then we'll decide if we're going to go on the trip. Now, Abram's an example of somebody who just trusted God and just went. And Abram hit several potholes but continued to trust God. Nicodemus, I think, he's there. He's in the Sanhedrin. He's with the other religious leaders. He's heard about this Jesus. And he says, we all agree that you're an incredible rabbi because nobody can teach or do the healing acts that you do if you're not from God. And so he's curious, but I think driving it, he just wants to know. He wants to understand. And so all of his questions are about that impulse we have, especially us engineers, right, to understand it all, know how it's going to go. And Jesus, it's like Jesus won't give him a straight answer, at least not the straight answer that he's looking for. Instead, he starts talking about being born from above and born from again and all this kind of crazy stuff. And you can just hear Nicodemus's mind just trying to get out of that trap of kind of the way he knows it's supposed to work and trying to hear what Jesus is saying. And I think the whole time it's going like this.
So an illustration. I'm sitting in my office on the 13th floor of the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, just fine and comfy in my engineering job. Thank you very much. When God says to me, Laura, a little more to your left. Right? So I ran the numbers. I felt called to seminary, but what I did is I ran the numbers. This is how much it's going to cost to go to seminary. This is how much I've got. This is the support I have. It all looks out like I can see the whole map. I can see the potholes and everything. And so I said, sure, God, I'll go. Resign my job, move 300 miles from home, get to seminary. Now I've got a house with mortgage. I've got a one-year-old son, single parent. I've got a car. And I'm embarking on this really expensive venture, right? But I ran the numbers. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, clearly the map that I have is clear and right and good. And so this God who has called me from this hopeful future is going to take care of my house. So I put the house on the market, and it didn't sell. Thanks very much, James. It didn't sell. Oh, well, that's just this month. Well, it didn't sell some more. And then it didn't sell some more, and it didn't sell some more, and then it didn't rent, and it didn't rent, and it didn't sell until all that money that I had seen in my roadmap was completely gone. And I was picking up the phone to put my car in the want ads. And back in the days when everybody had landlines, you know that experience when you pick up the phone and the phone's seemingly dead? And you start going, what's going on with my phone? Hello, hello, hello. And then there's somebody there and they had called you, but the ring didn't come through yet. That's what happened. So I pick up the phone and it was my realtor to say, well, your house sold. So the conclusion I made is that God must have wanted me to keep my car. But there was this gigantic pothole in front of me. And like the song said, God will always challenge and provide. But in that moment, I got that God was challenging me and not providing. Have you been there? Yeah, so what do you do when God challenges and the provision doesn't seem to be coming your way?
You trust.
Really?
That's the invitation. That's the invitation. I mean, Nicodemus wanted to know how it was going to all work out. And Jesus' answer was, there are some things you can't know without trusting, without taking a step in faith. This morning I got to meet Gage. He's a little 14-month-old. And I think Paulette? Paulette said, yeah, he's just checking the place out. And he was just wandering around, kind of looking and just kind of just exploring and wondering what this place was. And Jesus' words to Nicodemus says, you've got to be born from above. In essence, you have to let go of the attachment to know it all in order to see it. And it really is like becoming a little child and getting curious and looking at the world in a new way. Jesus says, in order to have this life, you've got to break out of this trap that you've grown up in. And you've got to see the world in a new way. In other places in Scripture, he says, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you enter like a little child. It's like you have to be open to the wonder, and you have to be curious, and you have to let go and trust God that God is there shielding and walking with you and providing.
So I remember standing in the pulpit the first time I was preaching on internship. It was the last year of my seminary study. Clearly, I couldn't go anywhere else. I was, you know, full of potholes and no provision. And I stood in the pulpit, and the weirdest thing happened. It was like I heard in my mind's ear the laughter of my Greek instructor, my Gospels teacher. He had this funny way of just going, huh, like, would you imagine that? And that was what I heard is, huh, would you imagine that? Like, look who's in the pulpit. And I saw the faithfulness of the friends of my Way of Christ life group. They had been saving money for one of their brothers and sisters to go to seminary, and he decided that he was never going to go. But they gave me all that money. And the people at home, I had babysat their kid when I was in high school, $50 a month came to the seminary for me. And there were, I don't know, there was a whole community of people that provided for me financially, academically, spiritually, emotionally. And when I stepped into that pulpit, it was like I was standing on their faithfulness, on their trust in God and in the seminary education system and, you know, probably to a lesser degree in me. But I had the experience that, you know, if my map had been good, you know, that original map where I saw how everything worked out in my plan, if that map had been good, I would have had the experience of putting myself through seminary. I would have had the experience of being a self-made pastor. But as it was, God challenged me and provided, and my experience was, man, this really has very little to do with me except for the going, which wasn't always easy. We have a banner in the sanctuary, if I could direct your attention behind the altar. It says, baptized, we live. But the most important part of that phrase is the comma. Because with the comma, that banner means we live this abundant, hopeful future kind of a life that God is calling us to because we're baptized. Because we're baptized. Because we're baptized when our roadmap is no good. That's not the end of the story. God calls to us from a hopeful and distant future that's full of the kind of life that we cannot provide for ourselves, hard as we try. If you're like me, you were baptized a long time ago. I don't remember my baptism, actually. I was 1 month old when I was baptized. Thank God for the faithfulness of my parents. But I don't remember that day. And if you were baptized as a child or as an infant, you probably don't remember either. But even if you were baptized as an adult, it's probably long enough ago that the power of it kind of fades with time if it was ever there for you at all. And Martin Luther knew this. And he said, we should daily remind ourselves that we're baptized. We should daily remember this phrase. We live because we're baptized. We live in the unfolding promise of a God who calls from a distant and hopeful future. And so we come to the river of life, to the water of life, to remind ourselves that perhaps what we know isn't all that important. Perhaps what we can figure out is actually in our way. Perhaps our provision isn't provision at all. It's just some sort of fictitious, illusory safety net. But the real provision comes from God, who will always challenge and provide like a healing stream, like a mighty river, like a gentle rain.
In our conversation, I'm reminded of what's become one of my favorite prayers. I call it the bishop's prayer because he was the first one I heard who prayed it. But I think it goes back to Holden Village. Yeah. Wait, let us pray. Oh God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit. Continue to pour out your Holy Spirit on this river of life. That whatever we face in our days and in our roadmaps and in our journeys, potholes and redirections, we might hear your voice and come to this place to be reminded that baptized we live. Amen.
No.